I'm going to try to unpack this today, Sarah. I'm going to try to unpack this, and then we're going to pray. But I just feel like I need to tell you all this, that we should not, I'm going to talk about come hell or high water, and today we're going to talk about the promise of healing. But when I was down there, the Lord said, Sam, would you please not make this about a moment of one service? Would you just tell our people, tell them that this is something that I am going to do in a movement that happens through them and in them. That they need to stop waiting just for this special moment and when there's a special direction. But that I am wanting to do this perpetually through my bride if they'll just follow me and obey me. How many say, amen, Jesus, I receive that. Amen, I receive that. So we've been in this come hell or high water. I'm not going to make you stand because you're going to be standing a little longer throughout the service. Let me do the standing. Amen. But today we're going to talk about come hell or high water. By his stripes, we are healed. Come hell or high water. I mean, the devil can't take our healing away. Amen. Amen. Jesus promised it. Now, I'm just going to tell you now something. We live in a fallen world. Okay? We made the mistake of sin. Humanity did. We deal with the results of that. The enemy gets in. How many know Jesus has given us authority, though? Amen? Given us authority. But I'm just going to tell you something, folks. I want you to get this in your head. All right? Outside of the return of Jesus, rapturing the church, which he is going to take the church away. He's going to take it out of this place. Okay? Because this world isn't our home. Please don't let what's natural be more important than the eternal. Please. I'm going to talk about divine healing and to believe for miracles today. But the Holy Spirit reminded me, Brent and I were walking on this when we were coming to service this morning, the Lord was just dealing with me again, and I got to watch because he keeps dealing with me all the time, and then I think he needs for me to preach it, and I'm trying to figure all that out, okay? So just, you're learning with me, all right? But I didn't put this on the screen, but I want you to remember this, okay? Come hell or high water, the believer has a body that will never die. And this is why the Apostle Paul said this through the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 2. So if you got your app out, write this down, okay? But it says, he says, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, when it's taken down, outside of the Jesus taking church, the earthly tent is going to be taken down. That is when we die and leave this earthly body. We have a house in heaven, an eternal body. It's a body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in this present bodies. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we are longing to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For those who resist Jesus Christ and reject him, there is an eternal destruction, a real hell. And every ounce of pain is multiplied times infinity what a person will sense. But the child of God has a new body. In fact, I'm going to tell you, I couldn't stand for a moment, just a moment, when I was here. I couldn't stand. I wasn't sick. I wasn't tired, but the presence of God is so real at times that this temporal physical body does not have the capacity to hold that glory. The reason why we have to have new bodies is because what you're in right now, even with all the kale you're eating, it cannot take the glory of the power of God when you are in your new body. You can't take it. That's why your body is groaning and even going into revolt, because it's longing to get rid of this, to get that. That's why, now it's not up there. I don't know why I'm teaching this, but I want you to hear this. That's the reason why, come hell or high water, you have already won this. Do you understand that? Let me make that clear first on the outset. Because he says, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down. Notice what he said, tent. I like the house I'm in now. I don't want to live in a tent. Sam Reifkugel and you are in a tent. So what I'm trying to tell you, please put this in context, is I'm homeless. Homeless people I have seen had to live in tents. Stop behaving as if you're home. I am not home. I am homeless. And every homeless person longs for one thing, a home. The devil is a liar. You've already kicked his brains in when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? So why would God give us authority to pray against sickness and disease today? Because of one thing. Not just so I can live a quality of life. That's good. What he longs is for his glory to be seen in this present world, that all may know that he is the loving, kind, heavenly Father that has made a way, and he wants everybody to know. That's why healing is demonstrated, so that his glory might be seen in this time, so that we can live eternally where there is no time. To God be the glory. Let's give him praise. Amen. All right, so we live in this corrupt world, right? We live in a place, stuff's rotten. It's rotting. But what does the word say in 2 Peter 1:4? Are you ready? Come on, let's go. And let's say it out loud together. And everywhere you see the word us, you're gonna say me. Wherever you see the word you, you're gonna say me. So let's say this out loud. Are you ready? Here we go. Let the devil hear this. He's going to soil himself as you say this. Ready? Here we go. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable me to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. How many thank God we have escaped it? We have escaped it. His divine nature is God, your divine healer. And he's in you so that his glory can be seen. I got a promise for you, come hell or high water, Psalm 103. And we're going to start with verse 2. I like the way you're saying this out loud. Would y'all mind reading this out loud with me again? I just love the devil reading your lips this morning. Amen. So let's start right there. Come on. This is God's promise for you. Ready? Here we go. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. Ready for this? He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. This is the word of God. Can someone now give praise from your lips, from your mouth, from your hands, any way you can? He said, I have a promise for you, Sam, and I have a promise for each one of you right now and those online. He says, I forgive your sins when you come to me. It's gone. Never be brought against you ever again. And don't you ever forget it. And then he said, but I didn't just give you the benefit of salvation. He says, I give you the benefit of healing all your diseases, and don't you ever forget it. You know, when we say all diseases, some of us think, well, I have the faith to believe for easy ones. My sinuses are acting up just a little bit today, and I, Lord, would you heal that? And by the end of the day, you're feeling better. So it's easy for some of us to believe for the small things, a momentary migraine headache, the sniffle or the flu. But he says, I don't just take care of easy diseases. He says, I take on the hard ones. So right now he's saying, I have the ability to give you a creative miracle that heart disease that has trailed you, your father's father, and his father, he says, I have the ability, and you need to know that I heal your heart to give you restoration in that heart disease that's in your body. You know that diabetes that followed your mama and your mama's mama and your mama's mama and it ended up taking her life? He says, I have the ability to destroy, not just the easy one, but to take that disease of diabetes out of your body today. He says, I have the ability to take the cancer that has followed you, your family, and today I can take that cancer and dry it up out of your body in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, that is the kind of God. He doesn't just take on the easy ones. He takes on the hardest ones where the doctor says, I don't know what to do. How many thank God? Don't you ever forget it, that he heals your diseases so that the glory of God may be seen. Today, what I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do is to help move you and me toward the miraculous, to never forget. He didn't just save and forgive you of all your sins, so keep that clear. All means all. I don't care what kind of sins you were involved in. I don't care how guilty and condemnation Satan throws at you. He forgave all the sins. You line it up. He wipes it out when you give your life to him. And don't you ever forget it. And I want to move you toward. Some of you haven't done that yet. You haven't given your life to Jesus yet. I want to move you toward the miracle of salvation, of being a brand new person in Jesus Christ. I want to move you toward that. And then there's some of you that think, well, just like this person thinks their sin is too bad they can't get saved, there's some of you that think your disease is so bad that it cannot be healed. I want us to start moving toward a mentality that he's not just the God that saved us, he is the God that heals all our diseases. How many are ready to move toward that? I want you to believe for that, to move toward it. I really believe that there's a corporate anointing that is happening where God uses you in groups of two and three or small groups and stuff. And I said this last week, and it's perpetuating because you're starting to say, Lord, I truly believe that's what you want to use me, that I'm sensitive to pray for that. All Access Men's Ministry, they have small group meetings. And just this past Wednesday, one of our leaders, Brother Sadie, he'd just been praying, and the Lord says, why don't you believe my covenant promises? And he just went in and he said, the Lord laid on his heart that there are men who have had injuries in their body that have just continued on, and that we're to pray for them. One of our elders happened to be in that meeting. Brother Tim was in there, and in March he fell and could not even lift his arm. It's been months since March. He couldn't even lift his arm, couldn't do anything. Isn't that right? For months. Which arm was it, Brother Tim? Left arm. He said, they prayed. He said, they said, we prayed and nothing happened. He said, nothing happened. He said, then I got up the next morning, and then, Brother Tim, stand up just for a moment and show him what happened with that arm that you couldn't even raise up anymore. And it's like that. I'm just telling you, believe God for these things. Is John here? Is John? John, are you in the room? The guy that was John? Okay, those of you at home, just bear with me. Come here, John. I need a microphone. Somebody help me a microphone. We didn't plan this. I should plan better. I'm just telling you, friends, you have a God that loves you. You have a Father that loves you. You have a Father that cares about what you're feeling and what you're going through. He loves you dearly. He loves you, doesn't he, John? Yeah. John, what happened to your neck?
2 years ago, I fell off a second floor deck, and I crushed my neck. And I've been told 3 times by different doctors that I should be dead or paralyzed. And we were in men's group, and Brother Sadie had that word. And he laid hands on my neck, and he said, I haven't been able to look up for 2 years.
He's a compassionate father. He's a loving father, everybody.
But I felt that power, and now I can look up.
You can look up. Lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh, everybody. Look up to Jesus. Don't look up to us. Look up to Jesus. He loves you, John.
Thank you.
He just loves you. He loves you. 2 years. He couldn't even drink water, folks. He couldn't bend his head back to drink water.
I always hated straws. And now I can drink out of a bottle.
Isn't that great, John? I love you, buddy. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. I'm telling you, get ready, get ready, get ready for God to start moving in you. Those of you sitting in your homes right now, you think it just got to be here. You can sense the presence of God. Jesus is present to heal. Why is he present to heal? Because he said it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, everywhere you go, he goes, he's in you. And he's ready to heal. Even now, he's present to heal. Can you love on the one that's present to heal? His name is Jesus. Woo, I don't know if I can take this much longer. I want to move you toward being saved. I want to move you toward believing God for salvation. I want to move you believers to the place where you stop waiting for the preachers to give the altar call, and you start giving it right there at work, and you start giving it right in your home, and you give it right in that university campus. He's present to heal all, forgiving them of their sins, and to pray, Jesus, show your glory, that more might know your love, like you did for John and you did for Tim. He loves y'all. He loves y'all. Yeah, but I don't think I can deserve this or receive this. I want to show you just for the next few minutes about a man that was moved toward his miracle. And I want you to simply go through it. I want you to go to Luke 7 about Jesus Christ and a centurion. He's a Roman. He's a Gentile. He's raised in a pagan culture. Listen closely to me for a moment. And he moves toward a miracle for a man he loves. It's a servant. It's a servant of his that he highly valued. There's something about this servant, that this man loved this servant in his house. And he was a pagan. Both of them were pagans. It says, when Jesus, Luke 7, says, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, these elders did, this man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogues. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word. Just say the word. Just say the word. And my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell this one, go. And he goes, he better go. And that one, come. And he better come. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith in Israel. In all of Israel, I have never seen it like this. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. I want you to hear this just for a moment. There's something about Jesus that he got so amazed at this. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus is attracted to. Jesus is attracted to faith. Attracted to people who just believe. He says, he didn't call it faith. He called it great faith. Even in this room, I sense that the Holy Spirit is stirring up the gift of great faith for those of you who didn't have it a moment ago when you walked in this room. Those of you who walked online, because some of you couldn't even make it here. You're so sick, even about ready to die. Something stirred up them, and I'm going to tell you what's happening. Jesus is attracted to your faith right now. And let me tell you, he gets giddy. He gets excited. I've never seen any kind of faith like this in all of Israel. God is getting geeked over your faith. Jesus, I just trust you. I believe you. I just believe you. I just trust you. I don't know what's in your hand. I'm just going to trust you. I believe. I feel okay. I'm at peace. I trust you, Jesus. He gets excited about that. Now, the Bible does teach that Jesus did heal because he had compassion on them. In fact, my Bible tells me that he is touched by the feelings. Some of you don't think he feels it, but he feels what you're going through, the pain, the anxiety, the frustration. He feels, he's touched by the feeling of your infirmity. He's moved by, don't think he's disconnected. He feels it inside of him. In fact, the closer you get to Jesus, you ought to start feeling the hurt of people lost in their sin. You ought to start feeling the pain of what people are really feeling. The pain starts coming in because Jesus was a man of sorrows. He was not depressed, but he would be moved by what they felt. If you have lost the feeling for the lost, if you have lost the feeling for people sick and afflicted, you are further away from Jesus and you need to run back to him. And you will start feeling what they feel. If you don't feel it, you need to get back to him. Because when he feels it, you'll feel it. But I want to tell you something. Jesus doesn't just heal and meet every need because you have a need. If Jesus only came because you had a problem, then every crisis would be resolved already. We wouldn't even need to talk about healing. So what it says to me is Jesus is not just, although he's a man of feeling and compassion, a man of sorrow, he doesn't have to come to you simply because you have a problem with your kid. But what he is moved by, he does to heal. He's done that. But what gets him excited is when he starts seeing great faith. Why would that be? Because Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him, can you read the rest of them? Read this to me. Anyone who comes to him, watch this, say it with me, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know what the world is impressed by? I don't care how many people you got following you on TikTok. It is jack squat to God. Do you know what this? I'm serious. Some of you are just crushed because somebody disagreed with you on Facebook. You unfriend them. You know why? Because the world is impressed by fame, by fortune, by popularity, but Jesus Christ could care less. You want to get his attention? I don't care if you got a million followers. You want to get his attention? Have faith to believe that your sins are forgiven and that he still heals and that he still... That moves God. That moves God. Faith is what moves God. And so many of us are using faith like a spare tire. Faith is not a spare tire that you finally take out when the doctor's prognosis is terminal. Faith is something you live by. Faith is not a spare tire. Faith ought to be a steering wheel that drives every situation in your life. It's a steering wheel that tells you this is how you ought to walk with God. This is how you ought to live in the culture. Let faith control your life every day. Why do we finally start yanking out, want to start memorizing scripture when we find out our kid's bound by homosexuality? No, drive with faith every day. Because faith says that he believes he exists, and then that he exists, he earnestly rewards those who seek him. So what does that mean? Faith, here's what faith is. It is the assurance that God is who he says he is, and the anticipation that he will do what he said he would do. So the greater my assurance that he exists because I seek him, not that I seek a miracle, not that I need all of a sudden God to heal my neck too, but I'm seeking God because I just want him. I just want him. He says the greater your assurance that he exists, then the greater your anticipation that he will do what he said he would do. Do you know why I know God is bringing a revival to the church in America? Do you know why I believe there's going to be the greatest awakening in America? Because the closer I get to him, the greater I'm excited that he exists, so my anticipation is greater that the greatest outpouring of God is going to happen in our day. Why? The greater your assurance, the greater your anticipation for what he is going to do. So if your anticipation is low, it is directly related to you not knowing that he exists because you're not earnestly seeking him. Go after him because he's excited with people. How do I get that, Pastor? Some of you, the Spirit of God is raising it up in you right now. How did this centurion get this kind of faith? You got to look at chapter 7 and verse 3. It says the centurion heard of Jesus. What did he do? He was listening. He wasn't just hearing, he was listening to what Jesus had done. We don't know what it was. Maybe somebody in his small group, in his group, told him, you ought to hear about this Jesus. You ought to come see this guy. He heard. Jesus puts this big deal on people who seek him because it says they get greater excitement about that he exists. And as he exists, then I know he will reward. Watch this. Look at Luke chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were what? So not everybody that's in this room is listening. Not everybody that's sitting right now in their homes is really listening. Some of you are doing your grocery list. How do you expect to hear from God when you're doing the grocery list and you're missing out on what I'm saying? Because there are people that are hearing and then there are people that are listening. That's why Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somehow, this man's faith shot up when he was listening like the people because he heard about who Jesus was, that he is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is dwelling among us. He is a God that heals, and he heard something. People need to keep hearing. Folks, can I tell you, you ought to be in the house of God more than you've ever been in the house of God. You ought to be studying the word more than you've ever studied the word of God. Young people, you ought to be in the youth group more than you've ever been. Why? To hear about God, that my faith grows because I know he exists and he's the rewarder of those who greatly do things. Oh, listen, the media is not gonna tell you about Jesus Christ, okay? If you're waiting for CNN to give you the plan of salvation, it ain't gonna happen. I love every school teacher in this place, but I'm telling you, they are so caught up with some things that are so off the charts right now, so off the wall. You listen to me, educators, I love you. God anointed you and put you there. But I'm here to tell you something. The education system is not gonna tell your kids about Jesus Christ. They're not gonna tell him that he's the Savior of the world. If you're waiting for the United States government, if you're waiting for somebody to get in office that'll finally start preaching the gospel, the government is not gonna tell you about the saving power, the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. It ain't gonna happen. So what are you saying, Pastor Sam? You better get around somebody who's telling you about what Jesus Christ can do. And this man heard it. He heard it. He didn't hear it from Caesar. He didn't hear it from Herod. He didn't hear it from anybody. He started hearing people talk about Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is in you and he's in this place and he's attracted to your faith. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ, he is still the sea walker. He's still the blind man healer. He's still the leper cleanser. He's still the dead man raiser. And he's right here in this room and he's right with you. You think I'm excited? I'm excited because of who he is and what he's getting ready to do in your life. Now here's my point. See me go, I don't feel I have faith. Here's my point. You think about this centurion. He's a Roman soldier. He has command of 100 men under him. Centurion. He's raised in a completely, total, anti-God, pagan culture, ran by an anti-pagan culture government. Anti-God, he's a pagan government. He has very little spiritual instruction. He has not been through the Grand Rapids First Grow track yet. He has not been water baptized. Yet this man had the kind of faith in God's word that impressed Jesus. And if this man, who was raised in a godless culture, who was not instructed in the things of God, can have the faith to believe, how much greater ought your faith to believe that you've been raised? Listen, you have 2,000 years of church history. You've got more podcasts than you could ever have in your life. You've got more spiritual songs than you could ever have. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have access to 2,000 years. You have the Bible, for crying out loud, the very words of Jesus Christ, but yet some of us are still acting like the apostles did when the winds and the waves of crisis begin to roll. They think they're going to die, and Jesus have to say, oh, you have no faith, or you of little faith. And that's why the apostles said this prayer in Luke 17:15. They said, Lord, show us how to increase our faith. How does faith come? I keep hearing, and I hear the word of God. It's not showing up this Sunday to hear about healing, and then you go out and don't study your word or go pray and get with Jesus Christ. You hear it, and you keep on hearing. You hear, and you keep on hearing. You listen, and you keep on listening until all of a sudden your heart says, I know who he is, and I know what he can do, and I stand firm in it in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like I have faith. Sometimes you don't feel you don't have faith. Someone said this to Sarah. The reason sometimes you don't feel like you have faith is because you're using every bit that you got. You're using all you got. And you know what I do? When I don't have the faith, you know what I do? I hang out with people that do have it. I hang out with people that do have it. Believers, you better start wising up to who you're hanging out with. Be careful who you're dating and who you're hanging out with. I don't care if they can speak in tongues. You be careful who you're hanging out with. Whether they take your faith up to believe he exists and who he is, or they pull you away from it. Who you hang out with is important. I'm reading this story, and I don't find any place where the guy who was ready to die ever confessed that God was the God of the universe. I don't find here that the servant had any kind of faith at all, but yet he was the recipient of the healing. You know what was smart? He hung out with a guy who was raised in a pagan, anti-God culture, knew very little about the scripture, but he heard and he believed in Jesus and what he would do. He believed him and sold out. That his servant got the healing, but he had the faith for it. That's why I tell you, those of you not in small groups, no wonder your faith goes, you're not hanging out with godly people that are speaking life into you. Speaking life into your marriages that are dying. You have a demon attacking your marriage. I like what Mark 2:4 says. You remember Mark chapter 2? Mark chapter 2, when the four men brought the man that was lame on the mat and Jesus was inside that house. Jesus was inside that. It became more real to me when I was watching this Chosen. How many of you been watching that Chosen? Every believer, watch Chosen. Just go get it, watch it. It just blow your mind. It just makes it come alive. But those four men that brought that paralytic man, and all of a sudden they sat there and they couldn't get into the house because the teachers of the law, when everybody's got it jammed, these people had so much faith that they ripped off the roof of that person's house, tore the roof off the house. Could you imagine? You're not going to do that to my house. We can't get contractors right now. You're not doing it to my house. And they lowered that man in. And you know what the scripture says? The Bible didn't say anything about the guy who was paralyzed for a long time. It didn't say anything that he had faith. But those four people had so much faith, they would rip off the roof saying, we'll take the damages, we'll take the liabilities, we don't care what it costs us. All we're going to do, see, you're not responsible for the healing. You're just responsible to help people get into this presence. The people that pray for you are not responsible for your healing. They're responsible to get you into his presence. The praise and worship team is not responsible for me to enjoy this service. All they're responsible for is get themselves in the presence, and I'm gonna tie on to them getting into the presence of God. They got him in the presence of God, and the scripture says, go read it. Go read it. It says in Mark chapter 2, verse 5, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. And you remember the teacher of law got all wigged out. They want to kill him then. You don't have power to forgive sins. Jesus says, which one's easier, to say sins are forgiven or to tell this guy who's been paralyzed all his whole life to get up out of that? Look at verse 10. He says, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. I have a question. He says, so you'll know that I have the authority to forgive sins. You think the harder one is to get him to get up. The toughest one is I got to go to the cross so he'll be forgiven. All right. That's why I'm telling you, you think the one you think is the hardest is the easiest one for me. And he says, so you'll know that I have all authority to forgive sins. You're all going to know I have the authority to tell this disease to turn loose of this man. Now I have a question for you. And I need a show of hands. At home, I need a show of hands. Don't be disconnected and just sit. I want a show of hands. How many of you believe that Jesus had the authority to wipe out your sins and he still has the authority on the earth to wipe out the sins today of all mankind if they'll believe? Let me see your hands. Okay, since he has the authority to do that, don't say he has the authority to do one and not the authority to do the other one. He says, so you will know that I have the authority to forgive your sins. I also have the authority to tell this disease. I have the authority to tell that neck. You will not hold that man where he can't lift his head anymore. You will not have the authority to hold that shoulder. You will not have authority to keep that cancer. You will not have authority to keep that diabetes. You will not have the authority to keep that addiction on their body, that addiction. I have the authority to set you free. Come on, why don't you start praising God for the authority that he has in this room and in you. And you are a part of his divine nature, and that nature is inside of you. Isn't that right, Pastor Carey? Now, I'm not going to finish this whole sermon because I'm going to tell you we're going to pray for people. But he is attracted to you believing that he has the authority. I don't know if I can receive this because I don't think I've been good enough, Pastor. Take a number. Take a number and get behind me because none of us are good enough. What you need to know is that God, Jesus, is not just attracted to faith. You got to remember that you're positioned by faith. Now, I want everyone to listen to this real quick and get this up on the screen. Miracles come from God's mercy, not your merit. There's someone watching me right now that you are bound by this sin that you feel so embarrassed of, and you were raised in church. But now you're sick and you're physically afflicted. He's going to heal you, and you feel you are far from performing as a child of God. Let me tell you something. His healing is based on his mercy, not your merit. Miracles don't come based on your performance, but by your position to say you are Lord, and you're my Savior and my healer. You remember he called the Jewish elders and he says, go tell Jesus. Go. He didn't even feel worthy to go to Jesus. Do you know something? Anytime you find people recognizing mercy, their first attribute is humility because of the mercy they received. Cocky, arrogant people, now I'm not talking about courageous, but cocky, arrogant people have not encountered mercy. Because once you discover mercy, humility always follows. Look at this. So he sends these guys. It says, when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation. He's patriotic. And he built our synagogue. He's a tither. Be patriotic and please tithe and give to the house of God. Do you see how the spirit of religion always flips it to say, I performed so he deserves this. I performed so I deserve to be forgiven of this sin in my life. The spirit of religion says, do, 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 do. And when you always think that do, do, do is what gets you with God, I can tell you it's nothing but do, 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 do. That's why Paul called it a heap of dung. A steaming hot pile of do, do, do. Merit doesn't get it. But relationship to seek him and know him means that it's not do, do, do. It's done, done, done because of what he did on the cross. Because it's not about anything Sam Reifkel's done, because I could line it up for him. Do you know how long? Do you know my mom came out of pagan lifestyle and gave her heart to Jesus at a Billy Graham crusade? Have you seen how long I have preached? Do you know what it takes to run this place? God, do you not know? Have you seen my giving record? And if I'm going to approach him on that basis, he's going to go, Reifkogel, that's do, 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 do. But he says, when you know it's done, 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 all that you've given, all you sacrifice, comes because, God, I can't believe you did this for me. Is there some way, somehow, I can do something back? And I'll do it. You just say it, I'll do it because mercy. And those of you that are lost in sin, that's why Titus 3:5 says he saved us, not because of his righteousness, not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. So today when we come to pray and we hold that promise that he forgives all your sins, nothing you can do. Just say, Jesus, I receive it, and I'm so sorry. And you seek him, the greater your anticipation that he rewards those that earnestly just seek him. They just want him. And today, how many believe there's a healer in the house, and his name is Jesus Christ by the Spirit of the living God? We're going to have communion in just a moment. We're going to take communion. And I hope you got that. That should be in the seat back in front of you. We're going to have communion. And we're going to pray for you after we have communion. I had the privilege of just here a couple days ago talking with Pastor Patrick Pointer. He pastors a small congregation in Manistee, Michigan. He's feeling ill here several weeks ago. Went to the emergency room. He's feeling bad pain. And he wasn't ready for what he was getting ready to hear. But after all the testing, after all the specialists looked at him, they discovered he had multiple myeloma, gone into his bones, platelets were dying. And he just asked the church, all of his friends, just pray. He said, I just trusted God. He said, Lord, I just believe you, so I trust you. I know you got this. And I want the gift of faith to stir up in you, and I want you to watch this video, and then the elders, I'm going to ask you all to come forward now, if you would, and find your places. But I want you to hear this incredible testimony. This just on June 29th that this was given.
Well, hey, everybody. This is Pat Pointer. Just checking in with everybody in a video today. This morning was my PET scans up in Traverse City for the cancer. And after sitting with the oncologist for, well over an hour and a half, going through lab work and paperwork and scans and CAT scans and PET scans and all of that, they have come to the conclusion that there is absolutely zero, no, 100% no cancer of any form in my body. And the doctors can't explain it because what was there is no longer there. And they're saying that all the specialists that have been working with me for the past month on this are baffled. They don't know what happened. They don't know what's going on. We said, we know what's going on. We know what's happening. We serve a good God. And there's been a lot of people all over the world praying for me and my family in this situation. So we want to give God the glory for everything that is taking place. There is no evidence in my blood work anymore. There is no evidence anywhere in my body, in bone tissue, joints, or organs. I want to give glory to God, cancer-free, and everything else is coming back to its normal places. So this is a God thing. God is no respecter of persons, and I know that you're going through your battles as well. And you're coming out victorious on the other side of this. He promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. By his stripes we are healed. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Well, I just wanted to share that with you in a quick little video here. God bless you. Thank you so much. And give God the glory with me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, can we give the glory to God? Can we give the glory to Jesus?